It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Peter Apathy, and this is Raven News. Years of steady declines in cruise ship traffic to Sitka should be coming to an end eventually. Independent cruise industry consultant Andy Nelson told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week that because cruise itineraries are planned years in advance, there was nothing to be done about the planned drop in visitor numbers this summer. But after that, things were looking more bullish. Nelson had been hired by Chris McGraw, owner of the old Sitka dock, to raise awareness among the cruise lines of the new deepwater facility in Sitka. McGraw's father, Chuck, was also in the audience. In his remarks, Nelson told the chamber there was nothing Sitka could have done to reverse the decline in cruise tourism, which was aggravated by several factors, primarily the U.S. economic recession beginning in 2008.
Sitka had impact of ships leaving even before the U.S. economy changed. And I just wanted to back up a little bit because talking with Chuck and Chris, it's been kind of enlightening for me in that I think some people feel that maybe Sitka made a mistake. You know, what did we do wrong that the ships left? And I'm not sure that Sitka did. When 9/11 happened, it changed the marketplace in Alaska. Because of the impression that people within the lower 48 were becoming more resistant to flying, at least right after 9/11, and they would rather leave from a U.S. port, ships moved from Vancouver to Seattle as far as home porting. And so when the ships that went to Seattle, not only is now the voyage to Alaska a little bit longer, but they do that twice, remember? So it adds quite a bit of time, and that's all time that they can't spend in the ports in Alaska. In addition to that, those ships had to make a Canadian port call to follow the rules of shipping, which is the Jones Act, where they have to call on a foreign port. So all of those ships, not only is the voyage longer, but they all had to call in Victoria as well, which took additional time. So the reality is, as that market developed in Seattle, those itineraries, they could only get in at the most three port calls in Alaska, Victoria, and get back to Seattle. And so the reality was, the byproduct of that was Sitka lost port calls, and Haines lost port calls, and some others did as well. And I'm not sure whether Sitka could have headed that off.
That's Andy Nelson speaking to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. Nelson worked for Royal Caribbean for 25 years before becoming an independent consultant. He offered an insider's perspective into why things were looking up for Sitka in the not-too-distant future. Disney, Norwegian, and Carnival Cruise Lines were all making single port calls in Sitka this summer to assess passenger reaction to the community. Nelson himself visited for the first time last October for the Alaska Travel Industry Association meeting. He said Sitka has a way of making a good first impression.
I think Sitka's in a great position for new itineraries that are departing out of Vancouver. The itineraries that are departing out of Vancouver have time to stop in Sitka, and I think that Vancouver is going to host more ships in the future. Sitka offers, in contrast to some other ports, and I'm not just talking about Alaska, but even in Alaska, Sitka offers a real authentic feel to it. I mean, it feels like a functioning village, city, whatever you want to call it, but it's very pleasant. If the experience I had in the fall is anything like the experience that guests have in the summer, they couldn't help but like it. It's a great place. A lot of natural beauty, really, really strong history, all things that kind of help the itinerary and help the marketing and help all those things. So a lot of good things going for it. You've got good shore excursion opportunities. One addition, and certainly am biased, but you've got a deep water dock now. And that's a huge benefit to Sitka because, as Chris said, there are cruise lines that won't come to Sitka unless there's a dock. And some will, some won't. And they're going to make their own decision on that. And really, you know, our message as we go out to the cruise lines, yes, we're hoping that they'll use the dock, but the message is come to Sitka. And my belief is most of those new lines that come to Sitka are going to use the dock.
Old Sitka dock owner Chris McGraw prefaced Nelson's remarks at the Chamber of Commerce. He said the dock received 23 ship visits last year and expected 26 ship visits this year, with the Seven Seas Navigator and Regatta comprising the bulk of those visits. The first cruise ship call of the 2014 season in Sitka is the Westerdam on May 7th. State conservation officials say a 60-foot tug sank in about 120 feet of water near Wrangell. Authorities say the Silver Bay 2 was found missing Tuesday during a routine dock check by representatives of the Silver Bay Logging Facility about 5 miles south of Wrangell. The tug was estimated to have about 3,500 gallons of diesel fuel on board. The tug had been tied to the dock for 5 years, and much of the fuel had been removed during that time. There's a light oil sheen in the area. Officials say people should avoid shellfish where oil or sheens can be seen or smelled. There has been no reported impact to wildlife, and the Coast Guard is investigating the sinking. Blatchley Middle School has a new spelling champion. Eighth grader Kyle Vidad was the last one standing Wednesday night at Kettleson Library in one of the most tightly contested spelling bees in recent memory. 27 finalists in 6th, 7th, and 8th grades dueled their way through word number 208 on the official Scripps National Spelling Bee word list. In the end, it boiled down to Vidad and defending champion 7th grader Abigail Fitzgibbon, who went head-to-head for 8 rounds when Fitzgibbon tripped on the word matriculation. Vidad went on to spell smithereens to win the duel, and then aerodynamic to win the championship. Vidad won a Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary and the opportunity to represent Sitka at the State Spelling Bee in Anchorage next month. After the event, which lasted just over an hour, one exhausted audience member said, quote, there was electricity in the room. You can see a picture from the bee and test yourself on the words Vidad and Fitzgibbon spelled during their 8-round duel by going to our website, kcaw.org. The Ray C. Stedman Elementary School in Petersburg is getting a major overhaul this year, and it looks like the work will be starting before the end of the school year. The wall, window, and insulation project is expected to cut down on heating bills for the 4-decade-old building. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Petersburg School Board this month voted to award the contract to Alaska Commercial Contractors for $2.3 million. Alaska Commercial has an office in Juneau and employs some Petersburg residents. It was one of 6 companies bidding on the work. Superintendent Rob Thomason sums up the input from the district's architectural firm.
They were pleased with all the bidders. They are extremely pleased with the winning bidder. They've worked with them before. They are, in some ways, Petersburg-based. The numbers were what they call a tight grouping in terms of they were all within a few hundred thousand dollars as opposed to millions of dollars of difference. And so they're very comfortable that every company was looking at the same thing, so they understood what they're getting into. So we're thrilled with the contractor. We're excited about the project. And it's right on budget for what we had anticipated and set aside out of the timber receipt for our 30% at the borough level.
70% of the project's cost will come from the state, while a local 30% match will be covered by federal dollars the borough has saved. That money is from Secure Rural Schools payments, also known as timber receipts, given to communities near national forest land. The project will mean new walls and windows for Stedman Elementary, built in 1969. Maintenance director Dan Tate describes the work.
Well, it's going to be quite a sight to see, I think, come the summer. You're going to see large sections of the school with the walls completely down. We're getting 2x6 wall construction, which is an industry standard. Right now, our walls are unbelievably thin, and it's going to be quite a change. When the final siding goes up and the windows are in place, you're going to see a different window configuration than you've seen in the past. It'll be a little more aesthetically pleasing, probably.
The district was hoping to do the work entirely during the summer when kids are not in class. However, it looks like the renovations will take longer than the 3-month summer break. Principal Erica Klute-Painter says construction will be starting up while kids are in school this year. Meanwhile, Superintendent Thomason thinks the disruption from construction will be worth a warmer school building that will be more cost-effective to heat in the long run. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan says the upcoming legislative session will be different from last year's, simply because there are fewer state dollars to go around. Egan represents Juneau, Petersburg, Skagway, and several other small southeast communities, including Tenneke Springs. He's one of two Democrats last year who joined a Republican-led majority coalition in the Senate and thinks budgets will be tighter this year.
The governor's budget, of course, was put forward operating in capital, and on the capital side, there are not that, you know, many projects, but it's not just Southeast Alaska, it's everyone.
The governor's proposed capital budget includes projects totaling $85 million for Egan's district, with all but $10 million funded by the federal government for bridges, roads, and airports. Of the $10 million funded by the state, half would go to the Juneau Access Project. The rest would fund water and sewer projects in Juneau and Petersburg and some building maintenance in Juneau. Egan expects to add some items to the capital budget for his district in the upcoming session. As for the operating budget, he's concerned about flat funding for education.
Of course, there are some inflation increases, but you know, we haven't had an increase in the base student allocation for now this will be 4 years. And I think that's unfair to municipalities like Juneau and Petersburg and Skagway, Haines. You know, we, our communities fund what we can locally, you know, what they call the cap. We fund as much as we can on a local basis. It's up to the state, you know, it's written right in the Constitution that, that one of the main focuses is to provide education to Alaska's kids. So,
as chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, Egan says he's concerned with the plans for new Alaska-class ferries. He thinks there's no chance of seeing a replacement mainline ferry in Southeast during the Parnell administration. And that's all for Raven News. Thank you for joining us. This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. It's coming up on 1 minute after 8 o'clock.